My father always had a book.
Let's see if the book's here. Probably is here. Let me see. You sure you're done?
Now, Ishei HaTanach means the people, right? And Ish is man, person, right? The people of Tanakh. And this book, which hopefully I'll find it, show it to you, had biographies of every character in Tanakh. And now, some characters clearly have very large biographies. Moshe Rabbeinu, Yaakov Avinu, Yosef Atzadi, you know, Shimshon Agibor. There are characters in there that you can definitely make a very large biography. But there are also characters that they're mentioned once, possibly twice in Tanakh, and they don't have very much information about them even when they're mentioned. And it's very hard to make a biography for them. That said, the book Ishei HaTanach succeeds. How does it do it? The book Ishei HaTanach is not a book necessarily of Pshat. It's a book of Medrash. Okay, the Midrash, Midrashic stories, they many times create extensive biographies to characters well beyond what's written inside Tanakh itself. One of the ways that the Medrash does that is it combines characters. If you have a character that's kind of anonymous, or a character that's mentioned like a one-off or only a very small story, many times Chazal will go and say that character is really a different character. Okay? As a side note, remember as a child, well, not a child, probably 20, your age, right? I remember reading Lord of the Rings. And Lord of the Rings every so often introduces more and more characters. And you honestly can't follow. And at some point, there's a big battle and some of those characters die. And then you're like, were they important? I don't remember. You know, like, what did they do? Like, we were introduced to them, they died. And then, you know, I flipped to the back, and I got one of those versions that had, like, an index in the back. They had, like, a list of all the names and what pages they appear on. And I'd go back to see who they were, and I was like, that guy wasn't important at all. I didn't know he existed. I didn't care that he died. So Chazal kind of do the similar thing, and they kind of make biographies for every single character. The biography of one of the characters in our parsha, Bilam, gets an extension in the Medrash. What extension does it get? Chazal say that Bilam is not first introduced in our parsha, that he appears already in Sefer Bereshit. Sefer Bereshit appears under a different name. What name does he have in Bereshit? Lavan Ha'arami. Who is Lavan? Yaakov's uncle slash father-in-law, right? Double hat, right? Loved him as an uncle, hated him as a father-in-law. It's the way things go. Now, why would Chazal say that Lavan is Bilam? Because both of them have enough of a biography without combining them. Now, of course, there's a couple superficial things, like the fact that they both come from... Where's Lavan from? Haran, right? He's also called Lavan Ha'arami, right? Because he's from Aram. And Bilam is from Ptor Aram, right? Torah Asher al Hanahar, right? It's based in the same area. It doesn't mean Aram Yam Cheni Hashem, right? Meaning God guided me from Aram. So there's a couple of, you know, like, superficial things. He comes from the same place, more or less. So there's that. There's also a hatred of Am Yisrael, right? It's another aspect. But I want to add in a deeper aspect that connects the two characters. Lava. It's a nevuah. You ever notice that? When does Lavan get a nevuah? Do you ever remember the story? Yaakov Avinu works for Lavan, right? He runs away from Esav, goes to Lavan. He needs to get a wife, but he's in no rush to come back. So he meets Rachel and says to Lavan, I'll work for
7 years.
7 years. He gets ripped off. They switch the wives, and they make him work
7 years.
Another 7 years. After he works another 7 years, he's still no rush to go home, so what does he make a deal?
Not
cows, it's sheep, but you're right.
Sorry.
He makes a business deal, that he'll get certain colored, spotted sheep, goats, and whatever, if everyone born. He gets very rich. Eventually he notices that Laban and his sons are not the same they used to be. Something's fishy. He's already suspecting foul play. So he decides that now is the time to go back. Also Hashem goes and gives him a nevuah. Now it's time to go back. Okay? On the way back, Yaakov gets a 7-day head start, but he's moving much slower. Laban chases him. Now what's Laban want to do to him? Okay? We know that Laban wants to kill him because God comes to Laban in a dream that night and says to him, Hishamer lecha, be very careful, Tedaber Yaakov mitov ad ra. Don't say anything. Don't mess with Yaakov. That's what Hashem says to Laban. Don't mess with Yaakov. Be very careful. Laban goes and meets Yaakov the next morning. Blames him, why'd you run away? You didn't let me kiss my daughters, you didn't kiss my grandchildren, you know. Why'd you run? Da 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 da. And then he says a sentence. Yesh la'el yadi la'asoti machem ra. I have the power to harm you. But your God gave to me last night and said, be careful, don't do anything bad to you. Now, I'd ask you, if God would come to you at night and say, listen, don't harm someone. And you wake up in the morning, you'd say, wow, I really shouldn't harm someone, right? But what does Laban get from that? He says, I'm capable of harming you. Why does he know he's capable of harming Yaakov?
Hashem told him to be careful.
Because Hashem told him not to. If he couldn't do it, if he was incapable of harming Yaakov, Hashem didn't need to tell him to not do it. Do you understand what he just did here? Meaning you only tell someone don't do something if he can do something. If he can't do something, I don't need to tell him to not do it. Now that attitude of looking to the technical, looking to the nitty-gritty, and not to the general gist of things, right? The general gist of things is God is in favor of Yaakov, don't mess with him, right? Laban takes it to say, Yaakov's technically not protected. Because that's what God said. That he can harm him, technically, right? Don't do it. Don't do it means he can do it. That's what Bilam does as well. God says, don't go with these people. He says, don't go with these people. Send me other people. Sure enough, he can go with the other people. Right? God says, Lo ta'oritam kibaruchu. So he's like, okay, we'll figure this one out. And at the end of the parsha, he does. Don't always notice, but the end of the parsha, he gives advice to send the women of Moab to go and make Am Yisrael sin. Because in his blessings, he says, wow, the dwellings of Yaakov are so great. Matovo lecha Yaakov, shikotecha Yisrael. So what does he do? Send some people to ruin the Jewish family. Send them to make Am Yisrael have a problem. Meaning, you can't curse them because they're great. So make them less great. You understand? That's the whole mindset. And that mindset is very much shared between Laban and Bilam. And the connection between those two is, I think, a strong one. And that attitude is saying, alright, what did the Nebuah technically say? And work around that, as opposed to saying, what is the will of Hashem seem to be in this nevuah. That is the difference between, you know, nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu versus the nevuah of like Bilam.